And, you know, the Lord just pressed on me, you know, this can't go on as normal. And so I just wanted to stop. We did Sunday school this morning, and we talked a lot about this. And I think it's just important for us to take a step back. And as Christians, we have a different perspective than the world. And so, you know, part I want to do is encourage you in the Lord. Our God is good. If you want to, turn your Bibles. We're going to be mostly in Psalms 91. So if you grab your Bibles, Psalm 91, easy to find. Book of Psalms, usually you take your Bible, open it up. In the middle, you're usually in Psalms, unless you have a real fancy commentary Bible. But most Bibles, you open it up, it's in here. Because what I want you to do is, I'm going to put the words on the screen, and we typically do, but I want you to be able to take this passage home with you. You know, one of the things that's dangerous is we get so used to being on the screen that we kind of get detached. And I want you to be able to go home and read some of these things and encourage yourself with these things as well. But in here, we talk about the idea of faith and fear. And in here, there's a lot of fear. You know, it talked about, you know, a cashier getting her hand broken because of an item. You know, someone breaking into a car because of toilet paper. And all those things are going on, and we're going to see things starting. People are going to get more scared more scared going on. I'm speaking English as we go on. So we need to be aware of that. And God hasn't called us to a spirit of fear. And so I want to encourage you from the scriptures, and we need to be prudent, and hopefully we'll be balanced all the way in through all of this. But of course, you've been watching the news. And pretty much all you hear is coronavirus, unless you're into sports. And I feel bad for the sports broadcaster because he stands there and says there's nothing going on. They've shut down everything. At this point, even at, you know, professional level, all the way down to little kids. Actually, my daughter asked me, he goes, is there basketball practice this afternoon? I said, I don't know. Our school hasn't closed yet. Many have. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get to that point. And so I think some of it is cautious. I think of those in authority, because I know myself. I mean, we're not a big church. But the decisions we talk with the deacons, you know, we didn't take these things lightly. And it's through a lot of prayer and concern for the body that, you know, I believe I'm going to have to give an account for those that God has put under my care. And so I do take that serious. And so I do want to listen. We want to be proactive. We want to be wise going forward. And I want to be here for you. You know, that the church isn't the building, isn't that we gather here from this hour to this hour. The church is the people, whether we're here together or whether we're apart, we're still his body. We're still the church. And we need to encourage each other in those things. But any of the bombarding of the news is just so much. And there's a lot of reasons, because it is kind of scary what's kind of going on. Also, there's ratings involved. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of this information out there. And so just in here, I wanted to take a step back, because if you are a constant news watcher, it's easy to get panicky and get scared. You know, the end here, constantly. I guess someone was saying that Zach works at Hannaford, and he's been taking pictures of the toilet paper things empty, you know. But things are crazy, you know. How many rolls of paper does one person need? But people, I think what happens is they want to feel control, and doing something gives them that control in uncontrollable circumstances. And as Christians, really, we can turn around and focus on God, because God is in control. And so, you know, as a parent, we've had a lot of conversations with our daughter. She's 10 years old. She hears the news. She hears us talking. She's asking a lot of questions, and she's a little nervous. And as a parent, we need to reassure and be honest. I'm not going to lie to my kid, but I want to be honest with her so she's prepared and also wise and understand what's going on. And in here, we've had some really good, it's amazing how good questions a little 10-year-old can have, right? And I want to make sure we go through it. And first of all, right off the bat, you know, if you guys, I'm sure you guys are all in those by now watching all this. You know, the symptoms turn around. You got a fever, you got a cough, shortness of breath. These are the three big ones. If something's like this going on, and like I said, the church here, we have so many who are in this category over 70 and have preconditions that predispose people. that if any of this is going on, call the doctor and they'll walk you through, get you in and take care of it. We want to make sure that you get the care that you need when you need it. And once again, as a church, if we can help each other out in all that, keep your ears open and, write a letter, get someone a phone call, shoot someone an email, Facebook, all these things to try to keep the body together and watchful of each other. And that's why I asked you before, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Because we want to make sure as a church that we're trying to go as forward as much as we can. And the first thing I really want to talk to you about is not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. The other night, talking to my daughter, and I told her, God is bigger than a virus. God is in control. And these things, because it happens, people are angry and say, hey, this is God's fault. No, we're a fallen world. And because of sin, we have this impact that's on the world around us. And we see this taking place, and I believe things are going to get worse. Read the scriptures. We're going through the book of Revelation at night, and we're talking about how things are going to get worse. Jesus referred to it as birth pains. You got the contractions, and they get closer and closer and closer and closer, and we're going to see this in our society, I believe, and the Lord is coming back. And these are just reminders of us, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Right? I'm glad this isn't my final stop. How about you? There's no coronavirus in heaven. There's no more sickness. There'll be no more fear. And in here, God can put a peace within us. And this brings us really to Psalm 91. David writes this psalm, and it's just a wonderful outcry. Because David wasn't always in the best circumstances. He was running for his life. He had armies after him. David had a difficult time, and yet his psalms are so real. And I encourage you, if you feel yourself becoming fearful, go to the Psalms. Because, the range of emotion, is exalting the Lord. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised, right? And all that. And then it's like all the way down to, I wish I was never born. Or down to, this is my favorite, don't judge me, but my favorite is like, take my enemies and grind up their bones. Right? Because I felt that. Not about none of you, but I felt that. And yet, the key to it all isn't not telling God how you feel. I've talked to so many people who are afraid to be honest with God, and God already knows. So go ahead, pour out your heart to him. Tell him how you really feel. God's a big God. He can take it. But the secret is that all the Psalms always come back to, but God, you're still God. And as we look at what's going on, we watch the news, we always bring yourself back to that point with God, you're still God. And Psalm 91, hopefully you got that. In here really starts with the idea of dwelling in God. Stay in that place. The Bible tells us that Satan is a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Satan wants to get us off path. He wants us to look at everything else except for him. And when we do that, we get anxiety. I think of Peter walking on the water. And the storm was real. The waves were high. The wind was blowing. All these things were going on. And yet, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, the path was available. But he took his eyes off the Lord, and what did he do? He sank. Right? Satan would love us to get our eyes off the Lord in all of this, and we'll sink. And the first part of this psalm starts off this way. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. What a wonderful way to start. I love that secret place. That God has a place that just for us. That we can pray to him, we can come to him, that we can pour our hearts to him. That is, God, we just have this time together, just you and I. I've had two girls, and both of them, they've been spaced out apart, and both of my girls love to go ride with me. It's like, I said, you want to come? And she's like, yeah, both of them were like, hey, I want to go with you. We get in the vehicle and we act kind of goofy and I won't tell you all the things that happen in the car because you'll think less of me. But I do silly dad things. I love to sing in the car, which drives them nuts. It's like, please stop, dad. And So I pull up to the stoplight, singing at the top of my lungs and threaten to roll down the window so people can hear. It's like, no. And it's great because it's just that time that we have. It's just that time that we have. And I think of God, we have a secret place with God. That we can be real and be honest. That in here we stay in the shadow of the Almighty. That we're so close to God that it's His shadow that overcovers us. What a wonderful picture this is, that in all of these things, Lord, am I staying this close to You in the midst of it all? I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling all scared, all these things, but yet, Lord, I can come to You and You welcome me in. And don't underutilize that. I'm telling my daughter, I said, when you feel nervous, when you feel scared, pray. And God will hear you. He doesn't judge you because of it. He says, come boldly before His throne of grace. Next part of Psalm 91 is we have God's protection. And I picked this psalm because I think this is just a wonderful in this period of time that we're in. It says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings He shall take refuge. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by the day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste and new day. Then in here, God's protection, He uses the illustration, I think, of a mother hen who gathers up her chicks underneath her wings. God longs to bring us in here, and God will protect us. In here, He talks about a couple of different ways. I love this at the end. I will not be afraid of the terrors by night. Those are the things you can't see. Last year, I was walking around. I decided to take a walk around, and I went down on Route 1A and walked around to the top of Church Street. And on the backside of 1A, I was walking. It was dark, and there's no lights in that place. It was cloudy, so it was pretty dark. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden, in the woods, I heard something go crunch, 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 crunch. I was walking. And we have, coyotes around here. We got other things. And I talked to one lady. She's like, oh, yeah, there's a mountain lion that hangs out around. And so I'm walking down, and I heard this. I'm a big guy. And I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, my heart was going, and I was like, I started singing songs. I'm like, because I've seen too many movies. And I'm like, something's going to come up, and it's going to grab me by the ankle and drag me. So I'm walking like real, it's almost instead of, I got a great workout because I was walking pretty fast. I was getting this chubby butt down the road, and I was just like, oh, and I was like, oh, and I was like, now I don't know what it was. It could be a squirrel, right? Big, mighty man scared of a little squirrel, right? I was afraid because I didn't know what it was. And I think, really, I think as I was honest, I think a lot of the fear that's on today is because people don't know what's going on. Amen. Right? It's like, oh, it's going to get it. We're all going to catch it. Okay, well, if, first of all, not everyone's going to catch it. You look at the numbers, 80% of people who get it have very mild symptoms. Right? So you look, now we're in the start of this, so things could turn into, right? So it's the unknown. Right? It's the terrors in the night that get me going. Talks about, nor the arrows that fly by day. This is the ones you see coming, and you can't stop. Right? Every time I think of this passage, I was working at a construction, and I was at the end of, on top of a real narrow porch on the roof, and the guy on the end said, hey, look at this, I found a beehive. I was like, yeah? He goes, watch this. And so he was on a ladder. He hit it. It fell onto the porch. He slid down the ladder. I have nowhere to go. So I look up, and I saw this one bee. And he was making it for me. And I was like this and like this, and he was like this and like this. And I don't know. Maybe I've seen too many cartoons. But I swear he swung around, got his rear end at me, and he got me right between the eyes. And I swelled up like a balloon, right? And so this is something you see coming, but you can't stop, right? If you've been in a car accident and you see it happening and you can't stop it, God is greater than all that. He can protect us from the things that you see coming when you can't. Or the pestilence that walk in darkness, and this is even scarier, right? We talk about the idea of disease and all that. We talk about a virus. The virus is real scary. Why? Because you can't see it, right? If it was blue, you'd avoid it, right? If you saw little blue dots, you wouldn't be so afraid. Because you're like, okay, I just won't touch the blue dot. But because we can't see it, because it's invisible, that even adds even more to our heart rates. Nor the destruction that lays waste in the noonday. And these are things that are devastating as we look around us. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall I plague, nor any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you and to keep you in all your ways. And in your hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent shall trample, you shall trample under foot. The Lord is our refuge, and he watches out for us. What a wonderful blessing this is. We talk about the idea of a guardian angel, right? I don't know if there's one particular angel that follows me all my life. I think I'd wear them out. I think God has more than one. But in here, God gives his angels charge over us to watch over us in all things. And it's interesting because I was going through, I was looking at some different commentaries on this, and I came across one church who used this passage and says, aha, if you just declare the name of Jesus, you're not going to catch it. I can't go that far. And the reason why is, I'll turn this out, is you go forward in the New Testament, and Jesus was brought to the top of the temple and was told, hey, Jesus, jump off. Right? Jump off. And he quoted this passage, this is the exact passage that the devil quoted to Jesus. You know what? God says he's going to watch over you, so you be stupid and jump off the cliff. And Jesus says this. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall keep his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Right? What does Jesus say? Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so I want to tell you this morning, you know, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then now all of a sudden you've got this super shield around you. Go out there and start licking doorknobs. Because nothing's going to happen to me. That's not what this verse is about. Right? The Bible tells us to be prudent and be wise. So I encourage you, wash, right? I'm encouraging you, to sort of keep some distance and be cautious and be prudent, and especially where the risk factors are. Because some of you, I know, are susceptible. And I would tell you as your pastor, maybe you shouldn't be here just for a while. And it'll help us make up. But you're big people and you can make your own choices. And right? I say those because I love you. But we not be called foolish, but be wise in how we walk and what we do. Read the Proverbs and it talks about the ant who prepares and preps. And I find an interesting what I'm finding is, probably a lot of you probably have already a month's supply of stuff at your house because you're just brought up that way. You always buy it on sale and all this, right? So some of you are more prudent because you're back upgrading. Because you go down, I'll say, into more urban areas. I know people who only buy what they need for that day. And then they go to the store and there's nothing there and they freak out, right? So it's good to be prudent. It's good to be wise. It's good to prepare. It's good to wash your hands. It's good to cover when you cough. You know what? There's a lot of people going on. Don't go there, especially as we watch, be prudent to watch the news, as we see this thing coming up, right? As we see it coming up, be more prone. Be more prone. Be cautious. Be wise. So I don't want to give you this verse that says, hey, I'm super Christian, and I'm immune, and I'm going to live foolishly. God has not called us to foolishness. But God is in control. And God does watch out for us. I thank God for that. God, we talk about the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, blessed are those that weep. I think there's one in there. Blessed are the stupid, because God watches out for them, because I've done a lot of stupid things and God has watched over me. In here, we need to be aware that God is in control and all things are according to his will. God's not to blame for this. God created a perfect world without sickness, without health, without death, without sickness. It's man's sin who brought in corruption. These things are because of us, and God has given us a free will. And I'm reading a lot of comments where, you know, either there is no God, we talk about prayer, what difference does prayer make? You know what? Prayer makes a big difference. It's God's people who call upon him. And I believe God gives scientists wisdom and discernment. And God will sort these things out. But in here, as I'm wise and prudent, I lay my life into his hands. And the verses like this tell us that God cares for us. The other night, I was tucking my daughter in, and she was asking. Actually, she asked a really good question. She goes, Dad, she goes, can everyone catch this all at once? And I got to act like I was really smart, because I said, hey, if you watch the, you know, flatten the curve, have you been talking about that? Right? I said, you know, I said, that's what they're trying to avoid. And everyone doesn't get it at once. Everyone goes to the hospital at once. It's stretching it out. I said, that's a good question. She says, okay. And she went and asked me a few other questions. Like I said, I'm amazed at how much she's soaking in. And actually the good questions that she's asking. And actually goes, Dad, I have a really stupid question. And it really wasn't. And so we had used this as a really good talk. And I was tucking her in and I said, are you all right? I said, if you're nervous, you know, just pray to God. Let him know. She goes, okay. And she goes, Dad, you know, I love you. I'm like, oh. And I was walking out, and I had to give one little softball in there. I said, you know what? I said, you're lucky that you have a mom and dad that love you and are watching out for you. And she goes, I know, Dad. And she woke up this morning, and she goes, Dad, I slept really good. You know, I can't stop a virus. I can't, you know, I don't have that. But what I can do is try to reassure and do my best to take care of my family, take care of those under my care. And in that, leave the rest to God. And as my daughter found comfort in knowing that, you know what, mom and dad are doing the best they can, I don't have to be afraid. How much more so are we his children who can come before him knowing that he cares for us? That in here, as we're out and about, as we put him first, loving him and serving him and staying close to him, that God's protection is over us. That we have God's reassurance. It's interesting, in Psalm 91, the term changes. All of a sudden now the chapter ends with the voice of God. God kind of speaks back. You know, here's the writer writing and says, oh, praise God, I'm in your shadow. You're watching care over me. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's doing all these things. And then God speaks back. And I believe in the midst of all this, we'll hear God's voice. Because I was thankful. Like I said, I'm probably talking too much about my family, but I think it just makes it real. Because in here, I said, just pray to God. I asked her, I said, do you think prayer makes a difference? She goes, yeah. I said, how many times have we prayed for things and God has answered us? She goes, oh, lots. I said, do you think God's going to answer this time? She goes, yeah. And God speaks back to us in the midst. And hopefully in the midst of all this, as God's people, we will hear his voice. We'll see him provide. We'll see him caring for us. And it might be through some other way. Maybe it's through within the body. Because we are his hands. We are his feet. And hopefully we can love and let God's love work through us to the body. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What wonderful promises of God. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the confusion, of all the hysteria, and even the reality, God promises that he will hear us when we call. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver and honor him. He will satisfy and he will show him his salvation. What a wonderful promise we have. Psalmist puts it this way. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust in him. That's a simple verse, but what a wonderful reassurance, because I need that reassurance. You know, my daughter's been seeking out reassurance from us. I need reassurance from God. And we see his love, we see his care. Never doubt it. First thing I want to do, if you're feeling this anxious, first thing is pray. You say, well, you know what, Pastor, that's a simple thing. No, usually prayer is the last resort, not the first. So if we feel anxious, if we don't know what's going on, in our confusion, even in the midst of it all, praise God. You know, you're having to find the last roll of toilet paper somewhere. Praise God, right? You know, for the small things. But in here, serve him and worship him. But prayer should be a constant talk throughout this whole thing. Right? I always said, those of you who are on Facebook, if you prayed as much as you checked your Facebook, what a difference that would make in our lives. Right? Pray. I cringed. I knew our president had asked for a National Day of Prayer. And I happened to, I try not to read the comments below things. And here's this news article that just said that. And I was just appalled by the amount of people who bash prayer. What difference does prayer make? All you foolish people. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, this breaks my heart. Because prayer allows us to come before the Creator God. Prayer calms my soul. When I have no control, I can go to him who has it. Pray. Second one, be wise. We talked about this, right? Be prudent, be wise. Watch what's going on. Be discerning in where you go and what you do. One thing, you know, I want to stress, you know, this morning we're missing some people, and that is okay. You know, I'm not more spiritual because I showed up and I don't have better faith because, no. You do what the Lord wants you to do and what you feel comfortable in doing. Now, there might be a point in time that, like I said, when you talk with the deacons, this is all in flux, that we might say, you know, we can't have this here, and we'll try to do online things. We'll try to things more available, different ways, and try to meet that need if we get to that point. But each individual, you know, we're going forward. We may not have a nursery. We may not have a junior church because of the workers who are doing that. We may not, right? We might have to change things. It doesn't change who we are, but we're trying to be wise and prudent. Be careful, especially, like I said, those of you who are in that sort of danger zone, who are more susceptible, be careful and be wise in those things. Listen to the Lord. It's easy to have the TV blaring and the radio and listen to all these voices. We're bombarded with all the voices. Don't lose track of the Lord's voice in the middle of it all, of who he is. I can tell you this morning, because I was like, okay, who's going to show up? No one shows up. And, you know, we come down, we might end up with just a few people, and that's fine. But to me, this is how I work. I'm like, oh, you know, if we come down to five people, you're just going to hear me sing. No one wants that. No, that might kill the virus. That might sanitize something, you know. But I can't tell you this morning, the turnaround, we sing, you know, we start off with two powerful worship songs. And to hear you singing that, what a blessing that is to hear. God hymns the praises of his people. That this morning, it was just a blessing and encouragement to hear that praise that brings me back to God. You're still God. Listen for his voice in the midst of it all. Count your blessings as we go on. Don't be listening totally to the voice of fear and doubt that's out there. And last one is, don't lose heart. You know, there's people out there who say, oh, this is end times and rapture's coming. It may be. Maybe the Lord's coming back. Maybe this is it. I don't know. Others are saying, oh, this is, I heard one sermon on here that this is the judgment of God upon America. I don't know what God's doing. Do I know that God wants us to repent? I have no problem saying that. Do I also know this too will pass? Probably. You know, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because we're in the start of this. worldwide. I think China, where it started, we see a decline there. So this will hopefully go through. We'll ride a wave. This will go down. And hopefully, and then something else will come up. Hey, I'm Mr. Optimist, right? But anyway, as we look at this, just be aware. And one advantage, I'll say, because I enjoy talking with some of you who have been around the block a few more times. I was talking to one lady, and she goes, oh, this is nothing. She goes, I remember when polio was the scare. And people on iron lungs and hauling people, and right? I mean, I believe my grandmother had scarlet fever. And she lost her hearing, and because of it, it did affect her brain. And my mom grew up with a mother who had some mental issues because of this, I believe it was scarlet fever. Her fever was so high that it just messed her up. And so there have been times, right? And you go on, go back to the plague and go back to, you know, there are these things have come in. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And yet we see God has been faithful and see this through. This world will not end until he says it will. Because God is in control. And so as we're in the midst of the storm, let's look our eyes upon the one who created the storm, the master of the storm, who can say, peace be still. And while he may not calm the storm around us, we can ask him to calm the storm within us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we worship you. Lord, you are so good. Lord, we pray in this time where things are scary, Lord, bombarded with what's going on and trying to follow what's going on. And Lord, I pray in the midst of it all, we do not lose track of who we belong to. Lord, we are yours. And you will watch and you will take care because you are faithful. Help us to worship you. Help us stay close to you. Lord, as a body of believers, as a family, Lord, help us to watch out and care for each other in this time. Give us wisdom and discernment going forward. Lord, give us patience in these changing environments. But Lord, through it all, we promise that we will lift you high. Lord, you are still on the throne, and we love you. Lord, we ask these things in your name.